Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to the February 28th edition of the Habs 360 podcast here featured on allhabs.net. I'm your host, Chris G. You can follow me on Twitter at ChrisG1980. Don't hesitate to give me a follow. Trade deadline is coming up just in a matter of a couple of days, 2 days from now. So it will be our focus for today's episode. Well, as you heard, based on our show, Canadians played 3 games last week, and they won every single one of those 3 games. Started off last Saturday at the Bell Centre, where the Canadians beat the Columbus Blue Jackets by a score of 3-1. Max Pacioretty scored a pair of goals in that game, and Carey Price made 31 saves to lead the Canadians to victory. The third goal for the Canadians was scored by Thomas Plekanec. And by scoring, he became the 24th Montreal Canadiens all-time Habs goal scorer with 194 goals. On Tuesday night in St. Louis, Canadiens beat the St. Louis Blues by a score of 5-2. Alex Galchenyuk and Brendan Gallagher each scored 2 goals in that game. And our friends over at Framework Sports Marketing, pretty sure they're happy about that, as both of these players are their clients. And as you know, we did give out last week an autographed picture of Alex Galchenyuk's followers. And, well, we'll give you some more news about the Framework Sports Marketing later on in today's episode. Carey Price made 27 saves in that game. And with that victory, he set a Canadiens record for 9 consecutive road wins. Never happened before in the Canadiens history, so he's the first one to do it. And we spoke about last week how we think that Carey Price, over the next couple of years, he's going to be reaching higher and higher and breaking at least Canadiens franchise records. Here's another one that he surpassed, that he broke this week. But it wasn't over. He actually extended that streak on the Thursday night. in Columbus as the Canadiens beat the Columbus Blue Jackets 5-2. So the second time in 5 days that these two teams face each other. In that game, PK Subban got one goal, two assists, and Andrei Markov got one goal, one assist. And it is also to note that each of those players went plus five. So they were on the ice for every single one of the Montreal Canadiens goals in Thursday in Columbus. That gives the Canadiens a record of 40-16-5 after 61 games played. That's a total of 85 points. Puts them first place in the Atlantic Division. They have a 3-point lead over the Tampa Bay Lightning. And the Canadiens do have 2 games in hand. And the Detroit Red Wings, they are 6 points away from the Montreal Canadiens. But the Red Wings do have 1 game in hand over them. In the wildcard race, I'm not even sure if it's still worth monitoring for the Canadiens. But they do have a 9-point cushion over the Washington Capitals. And the Canadiens do have a couple of games in hand over them. And the second wildcard spot is held by the Boston Bruins, who have 69 points. So that gives a 16-point cushion for the Canadiens. And both these teams have played the same amount of games. In the Eastern Conference, Canadiens are first place. New York Islanders are 1 point behind. But the Canadiens, 2 games in hand over the Islanders. And then at third place are the New York Rangers. The Rangers have 82 points, and the Rangers do have 1 game in hand over the Montreal Canadiens. And if you look at the NHL standings across the league, Canadiens are second place overall. Only the Nashville Predators are ahead. The Preds have 89 points, but the Canadiens do have 1 game in hand. So the Canadiens do maintain staying up there in the NHL standings and as well in the Eastern Conference. According to sportsclubstats.com, if you round the figure, the Canadiens have a 100% chance of making the playoffs, but officially it's a 99.991% chance the Canadiens make the playoffs. So I'm pretty sure this is the highest that we've ever seen it. Right, part of today's show, we're going to look ahead to tonight's game against the Toronto Maple Leafs at the Bell Centre. It's a 7 o'clock Eastern start. Some notes from today's practice in the Brossard. P.A. Paronto and Mike Weaver will be the healthy scratches. We also found out that Sergei Gonchar will be back in the lineup, and he'll be paired up with Craig Patterin on the third defensive pairing. We know that Carey Price will be in goal for the Montreal Canadiens. There was, in the practice, there was no that allowed us to see what the line combinations would be. And when asked about it at the end of the practice, Michel Therrien just said, well, we're going to find out at game time. So we'll know at the same time when the game begins. And also a note, Alexi Emelin was on the ice alone this morning skating. So he should be back sooner or later from his injury. Our question of the day. Trade deadline, like I mentioned, is coming up on Monday. We want to know who are the untouchables of the Montreal Canadiens. So basically what I'm asking is for which players that if Marc Bergevin gets a call from another general manager, as soon as the opposing general manager mentions his name, the only thing Bergevin does is, well, he hangs up the call. He doesn't even listen. Doesn't bother listening. He says his name. He hangs up the call. Who are those names? You can let us know via Twitter, at Tabs360. And if you're not following us on Twitter, please do give us a follow, Tabs360. We do follow back every single Montreal Canadiens fans. And it is fun to give us a follow. We interact a lot with our followers. And we're connected with over 4,000 Montreal Canadiens fans on the Twitterverse. You can also let us know by reaching us toll-free, 1-877-455-4945. And you can also reach us using the Block Talk Radio chat room by logging in using your Facebook or Twitter account. Coming up later as well in today's podcast, we'll introduce to you a brand new contest that began this week on Twitter, and it's had great response, and we'll talk about it during our broadcast today to make sure we give every single Montreal Canadiens fan an opportunity for this great prize. All right, with me now to talk about some Montreal Canadiens, my co-host, Peter, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, Chris. Very excited, very exciting times now.
Yeah, trade deadline is always an exciting period. And well, we saw that last year as well, and it's the same thing this year for the Montreal Canadiens. Marc Bergevin made a couple of moves prior to trade deadline. And on Tuesday morning, we found out that Jiří Šejkač was traded to the Anaheim Ducks in return for Devante Smith-Pelly. It was a straight-out one-on-one deal between these two players. There was no salary retained or anything. It was a pure hockey deal. Both these players have 1 year remaining in their contract. And let's hear now a short interview that Jiří Šejkač gave to RDS, where he mentioned his initial reactions when he found out about the trade.
Jiří, how did you react when you learned that you were traded?
Well, actually, I got the news when I just woke up, so it was kind of shocking. But and it's my first trade in my life, so it was kind of shocking. But I'm looking forward to it, and I'm pretty excited.
You have an idea what didn't work with the Canadiens?
I don't know. I really don't know, but I was just happy to be part of an organization like that, and had a lot of fun, and gave me a lot of experience. So it's time to move on.
So there, Jiří Šejkač mentioned that he was shocked when he heard about the trade, and I gotta say, the way that I found out about the trade is I got a notification from the TSN Go app to show that the Montreal Canadiens traded Jiří Šejkač, and I couldn't believe it in the beginning. I wasn't expecting it. I wasn't Jiří Šejkač to get traded. It was a name that we hadn't heard about all season, but the trade was done, so I was shocked. What about you, Peter? How did you react when you heard about this trade?
Oh, I was definitely shocked as well. I had mentioned on the show previously that one of the reasons why Šejkač was being a healthy scratch was probably because they want to see what the other young players bring to the table, and probably shopping them around to try to improve the team. And guess what? It's Šejkač that gets dealt. So I was a bit surprised. I wasn't expecting him to get dealt, even though he didn't have the... It's no secret, a good relationship with the coach. I mean, the guy's on the first year of his contract. I mean, during the summer, he's the one who picked, who decided to go with Montreal when there was a lot of teams trying to get him to sign with them. And for this to end like this is kind of strange and a little unexpected, but... I mean, good for him. At least he'll go to Anaheim. Well, he'll be given a fresh start, and hopefully he takes advantage of it.
And it was made clear by Šejkač himself and through his agent, Alan Walsh, that it was not them that asked for a trade. It was a move that the Montreal Canadiens made on their own with general manager of the Anaheim Ducks. Let's hear what the GM, Marc Bergevin, had to say about Šejkač on Tuesday after the announcement of the trade.
Not at all. I mean, he's been from day one, from prospect camp to training camp. I think he's been a good fit. I mean, it's always a learning process when you come from Europe, but he was very good. He had some ups and downs, just like any young player. But at the end of the day, it's a piece of the puzzle that we felt that we could give up to get Devante. So at the end of the day, we pay a price. But no, he was by far. He did. You know, he was on the right track.
So in terms of the trade, Peter, it's I think it was a pretty good trade in terms of player for player. I think it's a win-win for both situations. The thing that I didn't like about this trade is the fact that the Canadians, I don't know if gave up is the right word, that they gave up on Jiří Šejkač. It was 51 games into his NHL career. And if you look back to, example, last season, there was another similar situation with, okay, he wasn't a rookie, but Daniel Briere, who came in, didn't have much success, and before the end of the season, well, Briere was actually at the end of the season that he got traded to the Colorado Avalanche. Do you think a story like this, like Briere from last year and Šejkač from this year, might discourage potential UFAs?
It's tough to say. It definitely is not very appealing for somebody who is a free agent, unless it's... When it comes to a role player on this team, obviously, it's not easy from what we saw, but when it comes to maybe making an acquisition of a star player, it's a little different in that case. But I agree, it doesn't give a good image to... I don't want to say the team, but maybe, well, yeah, I guess, is it a coach thing? Is it a team thing? It's hard to say.
Well, it's hard to say, but no matter if it's a coach or if it's a GM, these players are getting moved. So I think it's more of a team thing. And on my end, I think if a team keeps winning and they remain first place or battling for the first place or making a deep playoff run like they did last year, I don't think it will discourage UFAs, because I think the fact of winning is greater of an impact than everything else that happens, because the players will see, well, you know what, if I do my role, if I do what I'm asked for, if I'm a good teammate, I'll be part of a winning team. So as long as the Canadians win and you have success, I don't think it will have an impact. But I'm sure, like you mentioned, maybe like a third line or a fourth line or maybe a rookie, they might take that into consideration before choosing the Montreal Canadiens.
No, mais c'est super. Les gars comme Šejkač, les gars comme LR, ça quand même deux mois qu'ils n'ont pas marqué. Donc, j'y allais avec des gars qui. Avec des habiletés. Hein?
So, Peter, that was Coach Terry from February 19th. So it's about 9 days ago, following a game against the Florida Panthers, when he was asked why Jiří Šejkač and Lars Eller were not selected for a shootout in that game. It was a game where if we stay focused now to Šejkač, it was a game where Šejkač had a strong game, and it was players like Andrei Markov who was selected in the shootout before Šejkač. Do you think it was the beginning of the end after those comments?
It obviously didn't help, that's for sure. But I think it's been, I think the writing was on the wall for a while. It's just that we didn't really expect it to happen. But does it come as a shock? Not really.
I think it was maybe not the beginning of the end. I think the coach's decision was already made, like you mentioned, prior to that. But I think maybe it was at that time where the GM, Bergevin, thought after he heard those comments that, you know what, this guy's never going to play again in Montreal, or he'll be in and out, and he finds that he wouldn't bring much value. And I think that's what forced the GM maybe to start accelerating talks or go shopping a little more aggressively for Šejkač. But there was rumors that apparently the Canadiens and the Ducks have been talking for a month, but I think after those comments, I'm pretty sure maybe Bergevin said, is where he made the final decision, you know what, it's something that that needs to get done for Jiří Šejkač. So we're going to take our first break here on Habs 360. Still to come, our question of the day, who are the untouchables in the Montreal Canadiens organization? You can let us know via Twitter at Habs 360. Or you can call us at 1-877-455-4945. On the other side of the break, we'll talk about the player the Canadiens acquired, Devante Smith-Pelly. You're listening to the Habs 360 podcast featured on allhabs.net.
Rocket Sports Media is currently recruiting talented, motivated, and committed people to join our team. If you're a student wishing to gain experience, a young professional interested in broadening your credentials, an experienced hockey mind looking for a platform to share your expertise, or a passionate fan looking to contribute to our publications by connecting with fellow hockey fans, we want to hear from you. We are specifically interested in individuals who have education and/or experience in the following areas: sports writing, translation, editing, forum administration, social media administration, multimedia, graphic design, web development and user support, event planning, and sponsorship and marketing. If you are bright, loyal, passionate, and willing to dedicate yourself to a remarkable team, visit allhabs.net and click the Join Our Team tab today.
Habs 360 is proud to be a partner of Rocket Sports Media, digital media publishers of sports and entertainment websites. In addition to building a worldwide network of sports fans, the team at RSM is also dedicated to mobilizing the sports community in ways that make a difference in the lives of others. Giving back to the community bridges the gap between team affiliations. It's something any fan can support. RSM has proudly provided support for organizations and projects like Hockey Fights Cancer, Five Hole for Food, the Montreal Canadiens Children's Foundation, Autism Speaks, Leukemia and Lymphoma Society of Canada, and the People of Canada Portrait Project, just to name a few. If you would like to be involved with a Rocket Power project or have a worthy fundraising initiative you'd like us to be part of, please contact us at rocketsportsmedia.com.
For the most trusted source of news, analysis, and features about the Montreal Canadiens, their affiliates, and their prospects, log in to allhabs.net, your year-round resource for anything Habs related. That's allhabs.net.
This is the Habs 360 podcast, featured on allhabs.net.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's always, you look at needs, you know, I think he fits what we're looking for moving forward. He's a big body, a right shot that goes to hard areas, goes to the net.
I really believe this is both teams fill a need. You know, I believe that we went to pick up a player that tough to play against, will finish his check, get a good pace in his game. I could kill penalties. We heard a lot of good things, but in the end, we have to give up. When you're looking for players like that, you have to give up. A great skater in Yuri Seacash that can make plays, but you know, both teams feel their needs, I believe.
All right, welcome back to Habs 360. I'm Chris G at Chris G 1980. So we heard there from Canadian general manager Marc Bergevin. And we heard as well from Michel Therrien on the acquisition of Devante Smith-Pelly from the Anaheim Ducks in return for Jiří Seacatch. And, well, they both agreed that it was a type of player that they were looking for to add on the team, a guy who will go in front of the net. He is an actual right winger. In Anaheim, he was forced to play on the left wing, and they said even a couple of shifts playing at the center position because of the team was relatively healthy, so they didn't have a spot for him on the right wing, but they didn't think he was a fourth liner, so he would play on different lines on the left side. But in Montreal, we know one of the gaps Canadiens have is at right wing, so which is a good fit for the Montreal Canadiens. And in terms of the type of player that Devante Smith-Pelly is, I think it's a good fit with the Montreal Canadiens. He's a bigger body, something that the Montreal Canadiens need, and he's not afraid to go in front of the net like Brendan Gallagher, except he's bigger than Brendan Gallagher, so he'll have a little more bigger of a distraction than he is. And he can score goals. with the Anaheim Ducks last year, he scored 5 goals in for the Ducks, and which put him, if I remember correctly, I think it was second on the team in terms of goal scoring. So what type of player is Devontae Smith-Pelly? It's kind of a long name. I think I'm calling him DSP from now until the end of the episode. Let's hear him, and he'll tell you himself.
You know, physical play, two-way forward. You know, I think my game is pretty simple, just up and down the wing and try and finish all my checks. And hopefully I can, you know, maybe contribute, you know, offensively as well here. So I'm just looking to keep it, you know, pretty simple.
So he's trying to keep it simple. If we look at his stat line on Thursday night's game against the Columbus Blue Jackets, he started off playing on the line with Braden Prust and Jacob DeLaRose. He ended up finishing playing on the right wing between, on the right side of Galchenyuk and Thomas Plekanec. And while we don't know where he's going to play tonight yet, as there was no line practices in Brossard. So on Thursday night, finished with 17:11 of ice time, which was the most from the forwards. And this was obviously the coach trying to get him familiar with his teammates, so he was put into different situations. He finished with -1, took 2 shots on goal. He delivered 4 body checks, and he played some power play, and he played on the shorthanded. So Peter, the coach, gave him a lot of opportunities on Thursday night against the Columbus Blue Jackets. On your end, how do you see DSP fit in the team from now till the end of the season?
I think that he's got to fit in that third line role on the right wing, and I think that's the role that the team is expecting him to fill right now. And because ideally, you know, I think the Canadians are still not done. They need a scoring winger up front, so ideal situation would be for him to be on the third line on the right wing. I think he could fill out that role very good. Like that, Dale Weiss could fall back on the fourth line right wing. And that's the role I see him filling out for the rest of the season.
Don't really know what to expect with a new team, but you know, I'm starting to feel more comfortable, and I think I'm still trying to learn the system and stuff like that, but I think once I get the hang of that, you know, I'll be all right.
So that was Smith-Pelly following his first game against Columbus Blue Jackets, and you know, considering it was his first game in the brand new team, he even didn't have a full practice because on the game day was an optional practice. I think he did all right. So, but I think one game is too small of a sample size to judge the trade. And to actually judge the trade, it's probably something we'll have to wait years ahead before we determine who the winner is. So if we move on now, talk a little bit more about the trade deadline. And I think, Peter, we spoke about it last week again, but I think this is proof that Marc Bergevin is looking mostly to do a hockey deal instead of a rental, getting a player to the end of the season. And even if he's looking for a rental deal, there's not many options still remaining on the team. And even the price that teams are paying for our rentals, I'm sort of glad that Bergevin wasn't part of that market.
Yeah, but I think there's still a lot of rental players out there that they might be still considering. And I think that I think he's looking at both options. You know, if the right deal comes up for a rental, he'll do it. And if the right deal comes for like a hockey type deal, like he did for Jiří Sekáč, he'll do it. I'm pretty sure that he's open for both. He's not going to come out and put the cards on the table. You know, right now this is, you know, this is the time where, you know, you keep your cards close to you and you don't, you know, you try to bluff the other teams. And like that, on deadline day, by deadline day, you get the maximum out of any trade that you're willing to pull off.
Yeah, like Thomas Vinek is a perfect example from last year, where the price you had to pay to get him, I think, was great. No matter, even though it ended up where Vinek wasn't that successful in the playoffs and he ended up leaving the team, I think the price that he paid was worth that risk. So they acquired Devontae Smith-Pelly. We also, Canadians have been struggling on offense. They scored 10 goals in the last two games. They scored 5 in each of those. I'm hoping that Mark Bergevin doesn't take his offenses fixed, right, because of those two last games, and that he's still looking to acquire top six forward, because DSP, I don't think he covers that need, right, of a top six forward with the team.
Well, it's especially a goal-scoring forward, which is what the team needs. I mean, right now, the only major threat on this team is Max Pacioretty, and there's nobody close after him, so that's a very big need right now for the Canadians.
And it was funny last week, Peter, when we were going through the travelogue of Mark Bergevin and the scouts, we mentioned one thing is for sure, the Canadians are talking with these three teams, Chicago, Florida, and Toronto. We didn't see Anaheim coming up in those trade talks. And if you look at specifically those three teams, the Blackhawks, the Panthers, and the Leafs, there's not much remaining for them. You know, since last week, the Chicago Blackhawks, there was an injury to Patrick Kane, which might force the Blackhawks to go start acquiring other assets. We saw they already did start doing that. There's still rumors that the Blackhawks are shopping around a player like Patrick Sharp. So Peter, what about a player like Patrick Sharp? I have him in my hockey pool. Lately, he's been struggling. He hasn't produced. He went through a stretch where he did start producing. A player like that, would you see him a fit in that top six role that Canadiens are missing?
He would definitely be a fit, but my question is availability now that Patrick King got injured and is going to miss the rest of the regular season and most probably the beginning of the playoffs. You know, you look at news on Patrick Sharp and people who are close to the team, and nobody really knows. I mean, some sources say that he's on the market, and others are saying that he's no longer on the market because of that. So, you know, Mark Bergevin comes from the Blackhawks organization. That's where he learned. So I'm not surprised that we're getting contradicting about Chicago here. I mean, that's they're dealing with this situation, and that's how Mark Bergevin does as well.
And for the Florida Panthers, there was Sean Bergenheim, who has been traded since last week. And Jaromir Jagr, it was a player that we spoke about a couple of weeks ago when Dave Randorf was on a podcast. It was a player that I think Montreal Canadiens should have attempted to acquire. But Peter, we don't know it for a fact, but there wasn't much, at least scouts present, to verify Jaromir Jagr. So it doesn't seem that the Canadiens ever had interest in him once again.
And I think Florida Panthers are sending contradicting signs there. I mean, they go out and they acquire Jaromir Jagr, and that's we're on now at Showtime. They trade Thomas Fleischmann. So
for Danny Heatley.
For Danny Heatley, who's going to be playing in the minors. So it's kind of hard, you know. Like we had heard in reports last week that Bergevin was talking with Dale Talon. I guess Bergevin realized that the Panthers don't really know where they're headed nearing the trade deadline. I mean, are they trying to become a team that will contend for a playoff spot, or are they trying to become sellers? I mean, you go and you get Jagr, but yet you're giving up some of your players as well. So they're sending contradicting signs out there, and I think Bergevin decided, you know what, let's just step away from here and talk to other teams.
And for the Toronto Maple Leafs, I think pretty much anything valuable that's probably left on a team that could be acquired is what, Phil Kessel. There's some interest apparently from the teams on Dion Phaneuf, but I don't think that's the Canadiens should go after him. Phil Kessel, if the deal was right, you know, why not? Like, I would consider it, but I wouldn't mortgage much of the future to acquire him.
And this is the time of the year where I see it very difficult for an Eastern team to trade with the Western Conference team. For an Eastern team to trade within its conference with another team. It's it very rarely happens unless it's like a team that's very low in the standings. But most of the trades, like we've seen, Chris, lately, it's been a team from the East with a team in the West. Those are the most open scenario of trades, where I guess the other team feels safer sending a player to the other conference like that. They don't face them often in the future, I guess.
A couple of teams at the Montreal Canadiens have been at least present around lately. There's two of them, one of them being the Dallas Stars, and the big name that's out there, as TSN likes to call them, trade bait, is for Montreal Canadian Eric Cole. Personally, I don't think Eric Cole I don't think the Canadiens have any interest in Eric Cole, especially since it was the Canadiens who traded him away to Dallas. And on top of that, it was the same general manager, it was Marc Bergevin, who traded him. So I don't think he would go back and get him. If it would have been a different management team, maybe, but it was Bergevin who traded him. I don't think he would go back and bring him back.
That trade was more of a business-type deal. I don't think it was anything against Eric Cole. I mean, the contract was a bad contract, but now, as a rental, I think it becomes interesting. But like you said, it was the same management that traded him. I see it a little difficult for them going back and acquiring the same player. But I think he would be a perfect fit for the rest of this season, at least. I mean, you would be getting a player who's already had chemistry with Max Pacioretty and David Desharnais. And it's not like he's cold. He's on fire. He's one of the hottest players lately in the NHL. He's been putting up a lot of points. I think he would help out. He'd make that line very dangerous. But
to 18 goals, 15 assists for Eric Cole in the 57 games played this year. And the second team have been the Los Angeles Kings, where Rick Dudley has been seen for three consecutive games in LA. The Kings, which are one of the Canadian opponents this week, if I'm not mistaken. Yes, they are. So it's a little too soon, I think, to pre-scout them. So I'm pretty sure he's looking at a player. And what kind of do you think he's looking over there? It could be somebody like a John Williams, which by the way, some of us that have been a hockey pool this year.
Well, if we're looking for a rental type deal, I mean, the negotiations are, well, reports out of LA are not going too well with Tim Williams. He's a UFA at the end of the season, so they would be, I guess they might be open for to trade him as well. LA is on the bubble. Will they make the playoffs? Will they not? It's kind of surprising that they're in that kind of situation this season. But we'll see how it goes out. I mean, if the offer is good, I'm sure they'd be willing to trade him. And I think he could be a very good fit on that kind of as well.
Is there any other Peter that maybe that's on the top free agents, the unrestricted free agents like Vermette, also Petri, who is and tonight he is scheduled. He's scheduled. Pretty much confirms that he's going to get traded sooner or later. Is any of them that you think would be a good fit for the Canadiens?
I have a feeling that the price for Vermette is a little too high, and that I don't see the Canadiens going after him. I think it's not a good fit. I think the Canadiens are looking more for a scoring winger, and that's not what he would provide on this team. As for Jeff Petry, like you said, he's a healthy scratch tonight. There's a good chance that he will be getting traded. And will it be the Canadiens? There's a good chance. You never know.
So we'll find out. There's only a couple of days away from trade deadline. I will definitely keep you posted here on Habs 360. On the other side of the break, Well, we'll tackle our question of the day, which is, who are the untouchables in the Montreal Canadiens organization? You can let us know via Twitter at Habs360, or you can give us a call toll-free at 1-877-455-4945. This is the Habs 360 podcast, featured on allhabs.net.
Want the latest Habs news with game previews, reviews, and highlights? How about full coverage of development camps and special events? Looking to follow the Hamilton Bulldogs more closely this season? Perhaps you'd like to learn more about team prospects. Would you like a place to socialize with hockey fans all over the world? We've got everything you're looking for at allhabs.net, the place where you'll find everything you need to be the most informed and connected Habs fan around. Allhabs.net.
Hi, I'm Chris G. The Habs 360 podcast and Anthony from r2canvas.com are pleased to announce the return of the Habs contest this season. The contest will run during every Habs home game in the regular season and will give you the opportunity to win a great prize courtesy of r2canvas.com. Listen to the Habs 360 podcast and follow Habs 360 and Habs Happy on Twitter for more details. And for high quality canvas art at a reasonable price, visit r2canvas.com. Good luck.
I bet you enjoy sporting your best Habs jerseys, dressing up your kids and pets in the cutest Habs gear, and showing off your decked-out hockey cave or fan age. Well, don't just show your friends, show your Habs. The team at All Habs wants you to boast your finest pictures for our global network of Montreal Canadiens fans. Include the hashtag #ShowYourHabs when posting your fan photos on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. Then log on to showyourhabs.com to see your entry, along with photos and posts from Habs fans all over the world. A proud member of the Rocket Sports Media Network.
If you missed a recent episode of the Habs 360 podcast, search Habs 360 on allhabs.net or on iTunes for the archives. Want to make sure you never miss another episode? Subscribe to Habs 360 on iTunes and all new episodes will automatically download for you.
This is the Habs 360 podcast, featured on allhabs.net.
All right, welcome back to Habs 360. I'm Chris G, along with Peter. Just a couple of minutes left in today's episode. And well, for the last couple of weeks, we're running a brand new contest. Well, we're running a contest, I should say, that allowed one of our lucky followers to win an autographed picture of Alex Galchenyuk. And now, Peter, we have a brand new contest that already started this week and is still ongoing.
Yeah, well, the Habs 360 podcast is excited to provide one Habs fan an opportunity to win an 8x10 autographed picture of Brendan Gallagher, and it's courtesy of Framework Sports Marketing. Framework is the largest distributor of autographed NHL memorabilia in the world and one of the largest distributors of sports memorabilia in North America. Here's how to enter. You just have to follow Habs 360 on Twitter. And then prior to the next Canadiens road game, which is this Monday, tweet Habs 360 your guess of the final score and the name of the first Montreal Canadiens goal scorer. Now, if you guess them correctly, you will win. That's how simple it is to enter the contest. And in case of multiple correct guesses, a tiebreaker will be determined from all winners. For more information on Framework Sports Marketing, visit their website at framework.com.
So great, great contest. Thank you very much, Peter. Going back here, talking now a little bit trade deadline here on the Habs 360. Last game, Peter, against Columbus, Jacob De La Rose, he scored a pair of goals, his first two goals in his career, and he's continued impressing Habs fans, and for sure he's been impressing the coach because he's been getting lots of ice time from Michel Therrien, and for a 19-year-old, where people sometimes have the impression that Michel Therrien doesn't like rookies, but Jacob De La Rose, he's getting his ice time, he's playing shorthanded, he's playing all these important situations. Do you think that based on this success, Lars Eller, is he in trouble heading into Monday for trade deadline?
Well, I think that if you're going to touch this current roster right now, the only person that is tradable from this current roster right now is Lars Eller, I think. And is he in danger? Yes, he's been in danger for the past few weeks, maybe month, I'd say. And I wouldn't be surprised if on next week's show we'll be talking about the Lars Eller trade here on the podcast.
So that's a prediction on by Peter here. Looking at tonight's game against the Toronto Maple Leafs, Sergei Gonchar is back in the Canadiens lineup, and he'll be paired up with Craig Patterson on the third pairing. So Nathan Beaulieu will remain with Tom Gilbert. I guess on the bright side of this injury was that Sergei Gonchar, he's in a better role, I think, as a third line, as a third pairing defenseman than he is on the second pairing. Nathan Beaulieu has taken advantage of this opportunity that was given to him by the Montreal Canadiens since his second call-up. And Beaulieu, I think he cemented himself as the number three defenseman for the team right now. But Jared Tinordi, he was returned to the Hamilton Bulldogs yesterday, and Peter, on his end, he wasn't able to take advantage of the chance that was given to him with his injury situation.
Well, you know, it's, I think Pattern has played, was a bit more solid than Tinordi, and that's probably the reason why he was the odd man who was sent down to Hamilton. And is it a little disappointing? Yes, but I think the Canadians expect a lot more from Jared Tinordi. You know, they have higher expectations from Jared Tinordi than they do from Pattern. First time he's been called up this season, so I think that they want to see a bit more of him. And don't forget, he's the right-handed shot compared to Tinordi's left. So right now there's more of a need for that on the team. And
In terms of the depth chart, do you think Pattern has surpassed Jared Tinordi?
I think short-term, yes, but long-term, I think the team is expecting to bigger things from Tinordi and a bigger role from Tinordi.
I'm disappointed, too, from Jack Tinordi, the way he's been performing, that he's getting sent back. Is it time to give up on him? I would say no, that it's not. He probably needs a little more time in the AHL, maybe to gain some more confidence, and maybe he should just stay. Not to worry too much about playing with a big team with the Montreal Canadiens. And one thing, Peter, that I was able to, that at least was brought to my attention, is when it comes to Jared Tinordi and Craig Patterson, next season, if for both those players, if they want to get sent down to Hamilton, they have to go through waivers. So I think if any of those two guys go through waivers, there's a good chance that a team picks them up. So a decision must be made for them. And do you expect maybe one of them being part of a deal prior to Monday?
Probably not. Well, let's talk with Craig Patterson first. I don't think he's got that value of that we think he does. I mean, even if I think he could be like a compliment on a trade, but
through waivers, I'm sure he could get picked up.
Well, don't forget, Chris, also that at the end of the season, you have Sergei Gonchar, who becomes a UFA. He's your left-handed shot. And you've got Mike Weaver, who becomes a UFA, and he's your right-handed shot. So Tinordi and Patterson could be the two guys who fill their spots. So maybe the team is thinking long-term here and thinking, you know what, guys, this season is not your season, and we're expecting big things from you for next season.
And let's tackle now our question of the day, which was, who are the untouchables for the Montreal Canadiens? So, Peter, the question that I was asking is, if a general manager of the opposing team calls Marc Bergevin and mentions one of these players, Bergevin doesn't even respond. The only thing he does is he hangs up the phone on the spot. Who would those players be for you?
Definitely Max Pacioretty. Then I'd have Alex Galchenyuk as a second pick. I would go with Jacob De La Rose as a third pick. This is in no particular order, by the way.
Yes, yeah, there's no order.
Random names there.
Yeah.
Up front, I think that would be it on my part. And on defense, I've got PK and Nathan Beaulieu. And I think Jared Tenorti, too. I wouldn't touch him right now. I'm still willing to be patient with him. And obviously, Carey Price would be the other untouchable on my part.
So my names are similar, but they're not exactly the same. One name that I disagree with you is actually on defense, both of them, Nathan Beaulieu and Jared Tenorti. I'd listen. I'm not for a trade. If it's a good trade, I'd be willing to trade at least one of them. PK Subban, I agree. Pacioretty and Price, I also agree. Galchenyuk is another one as well. Another one that I wouldn't from the list that you mentioned is Jacob De La Rose. He's off to a great start, like you mentioned. Is it a one-year thing? The sample size isn't big, but it's not to the point where I probably wouldn't trade him, but it's not to the point where I'd hang up the phone.
It's a question of age too, Chris. I mean, De La Rose is only 19 years old, and you know that better things are to come with him. Just like Galchenyuk, when he made the team at 19, Canadians were not going to trade Galchenyuk at 19. These are the kind of players that you build your team around, and I think De La Rose will become a big part of this team in the upcoming years. And just to add a couple of more names, these are players from prospects. I think Sherbeck and McCarron would be untouchable on my part as well.
So you anticipated my next question. I agree for those two players. What about Zachary Fucale?
Fucale, I'm on the fence a bit because I know he's got a great pedigree. He's been a winner wherever he's been. And I would hesitate. But then I look at Carey Price and how he's tied up. And he's only 19, I believe, for Cali as well. So he's pretty young. Then I look at Carey Price, who's 26. At the prime of his career, I'm leaning more towards no. I'd rather the Canadians be patient with Fucale and hang on to him. And years in Hamilton, where he can be the number one starter. I mean, Hamilton Bulldogs haven't had a good goaltender, I believe, since Carey Price.
When you went for that playoff run.
When they had that great playoff run and won the Calder Trophy in the AHL. I think that they need to make him the number one goalie in Hamilton and get him ready for the NHL like that. Give him two full good seasons in the AHL.
Fucale, from what I hear, if you tell me you're on the fence, to me it means he's not tradable. He's not untouchable. It means you'd probably listen. You probably wouldn't trade him, but it wouldn't be to the point where you would hang up the phone call.
Yes.
And another name, Peter, was just tweeted out by Gano Lavoie, is that Martin Havlat is a healthy scratch tonight for the Devils. I hope that's not a player the Canadians are interested for, right?
I hope not either. I mean, you'd have to be pretty desperate to go there. I think Bergeron is looking for a bigger name than that.
Earlier this week, we spoke about Sergei Gonchar, but Pia Paronto was also cleared to return to the Canadiens lineup, so he's healthy. And tonight, the coach did confirm that the Pia Paronto will be a healthy scratch. And how does this guy, Peter, get back into the lineup? Who does he bump out of the lineup? The player that, you know, the easy choice would probably be Michael Bourneval or Manny Malhotra, right? Those are the two easy names that could get out of the lineup, but that's not what's happening, at least tonight, against the Leafs.
And it's also a question of what kind of a role does Paronto fill on his team? Is he really a fourth-line player? I mean, if you're, like you're saying, if you take out Bourneval, you put Paronto. it's going to be tough for him to make it back into the lineup. It'll obviously have to come after a loss, because Terry very, very hesitant of changing a winning lineup. But yet, this is the final game before trade deadline, so I guess we'll wait and see. Like, I can give you an answer right now, but after Monday's trade deadline, it could very well change.
Yeah, I know it could be much clearer if after the trade deadline. So the Canadiens facing tonight the Toronto Maple Leafs. Maple Leafs, like we said, have been busy in the trade deadline, and I got to give them every week. Normally I come here and I find a way to bash them. But I got to give them props for the trade that they did this week with Columbus Blue Jackets for David Clarkson. And Clarkson was probably a player that somebody like Brandon Press was probably looking for to face tonight following what happened earlier a couple of weeks ago when after the hit on Sergei Gonchar and after the fight between these two players at the end of the shift. But we're not going to see him tonight.
And it's funny how this is such a different Toronto Maple Leafs team compared to two Saturdays ago. I mean, Clarkson is no longer there. Daniel Winnick, who scored the only goal in that game, is not there. Santorelli, who got a shootout goal in that game, is not there either. And even Cody Franson on defense, who got a goal in that game, is not going to be in the lineup either. So this will be a very different looking at Toronto Maple Leafs team.
Different looking team, but I think it'll be the same result.
Same result. I agree on that. Yeah.
Yeah, I think we'll see the Montreal Canadiens beat the Toronto Maple Leafs. And also one thing the Canadiens were able to do this week, twice out of the three games, was beat an unplayoff team, which the Canadiens have been struggling with recently. And I think it will continue tonight against the Toronto Maple Leafs. So, Peter, as well, Canadiens heading into a four-game West Coast trip after they finish off the game against the Toronto Maple Leafs heading onto the West Coast. Canadiens are the best road team in the NHL. They've won 11 out of their last 13 games. So when that happens, when you talk about things like home ice advantage in the playoffs, when a team performs like this on the road, that doesn't mean even home games against the opposing team, Canadiens do come out with an advantage. So if we just look a little more detailed for the upcoming games tonight, 7 o'clock game between the Canadiens and the Maple Leafs at the Bell Center. It's a 7 o'clock start at the Bell Center. Game could be seen coast to coast on CBC in English and on TVA Sports in French. Then it's three late games. Monday night against the Sharks in San Jose at 10 o'clock Eastern, a game that could be seen for viewers Belleville East on the Sportsnet East and on RDS. On Wednesday night, once again, a 10 o'clock start against the Anaheim Ducks. So right away, we'll see Jiří Sekáč in his new uniform. And another thing about the trade, Peter, is we won't have to pronounce Jiří Sekáč often.
Right when we started learning how to say his name, he's gone.
Yeah, exactly. They made it easy for us. So that game will also be available for viewers in Belleville East on the Sportsnet East in English and on RDS in French. And then Thursday night, the Montreal Canadiens in LA to face the Kings at 10. They start a game once again for viewers Belleville East on the Sportsnet East and RDS. So it's pretty simple. All the games are in Sportsnet East and on RDS, and if you live outside the Quebec region, unfortunately, it's you won't be able to watch the games unless you have center ice. So we know it's late games. You might not be able to stay up late to watch them, but don't worry, Habs 360 will remain up for you to watch the games. And there's just one tweet that came in. It came in from John Rochelot. In regards to line mates for DSP, he writes, the perfect line mates would be Lars Eller and Brandon Prust. A lot of cycle, clock killers, and puck possession. So thank you very much for the tweet, John. But at this point, I think we should say, let's wait until Monday. Let's see if Lars Eller is still part of the team. And then we'll see accordingly, because with changes that could be done with a team, it might make more sense for DSP to play with different line mates. Thank you very much, Peter, for joining us.
Always a pleasure, Chris. Thank you.
Coming up next week on Habs 360, we're going to be previewing the final game of the Canadiens' four-game road trip as we'll be preparing to face the Arizona Coyotes in Arizona. And, well, according to Peter, we'll be discussing a Lars Eller trade from trade deadline. If not, we'll talk about any move that is going to be made by the Montreal Canadiens at the deadline. My name is Chris G at ChrisG1980. Thank you very much for joining us. Really do appreciate it. And we'll be back again next Saturday, 2 p.m. Eastern, for another edition of the Habs 360 Podcast.
For the latest news on the Montreal Canadiens, follow us on Twitter at Habs360 and visit allhabs.net.